The greatest thing you will ever be offered in your whole life. It is my distinct pleasure to offer that to you today. I kid you not. Fred Craddock used to tell about a time when he just finished Bible college and he went to preach for a small congregation that met on Watts Bar Lake, which is between Chattanooga and Knoxville. Craddock says it was their custom to baptize people at sundown on Easter evening. He tells the story this way. He said, "Now, out off the sandbar, I moved into the water with the candidates for baptism, and then they moved across to the shore where the little congregation was gathered, singing around a fire and cooking supper. They had constructed little booths for changing clothes with hanging black blankets. As the candidates moved from the water, they went in and changed clothes and then went to the fire in the center. Finally, last of all, I went over and changed clothes and went to the fire." Craddock says, "Once we were all around the fire, this was the ritual of that tradition. Glenn Hickey, always Glenn, introduced the new people, gave their names, where they lived, and their work. Then the rest of us formed a circle around them while they stayed warm at the fire. The ritual was that each person in the circle then gave his or her name and said this, 'My name is,' and if you ever need somebody to do your washing and ironing, 'My name is,' and if you ever need somebody to chop wood, 'My name is,' and if you ever need anybody to babysit, 'My name is,' and if you ever need anybody to repair your house, 'My name is,' and if you ever need anybody to sit with the sick, 'My name is,' and if you ever need a car to go to town." And around the circle it went. Craddock said, "Then we ate, and we had a square dance." And then in a time they knew, I didn't know, Percy Miller, with his thumbs in his bibbed overalls, would stand up and say, "Time to go." And everybody just left. He would linger behind and with his big shoe kick some sand over the dying fire. And my first experience of that, Craddock says, he saw me standing there still, and he looked at me and he said, "Craddock, folks don't ever get any closer than this." Fred Craddock said, "In that little community, they have a name for that. I've heard it in other communities too, but in that community, their name for that is church. They call that church. Today, I am inviting you to do church with us. Whether you've been an official member of Willowbrook for as long as you can remember, or you happened upon us recently, I invite you to choose today to do this with us. Do church with us, like they do at Watts Bar Lake. On most Sundays, we take a pericope in the Bible, a section, a story, a piece of what the Bible says, and we try to figure it out and understand what was happening and what it means and how it fits into our lives. But today, I just want to take one word from Scripture and work on that. Just a word from the Bible, and the word is ekklesia. We translate that word church, but that's not what it originally meant. It's a Greek word. It's a word to describe a group of people who have something in common. But it doesn't always mean a group of people who follow Jesus. Sometimes it means the exact opposite. Like in Acts chapter 19, in Acts 19, there was a bunch of craftsmen in a city who got rich because they made and sold statues of Greek gods. That's how they got wealthy. And people around their city loved to buy their little bobblehead idols. They made Greek gods like Apollo, who's the god of music, Poseidon, who's the god of the sea. They made statues of Eros, who's the god of love, Dionysus, who's the god of wine, Helios, who's the god of the sun. They made gods like Hypnos, who's the god of sleep, Thanatos, who's the god of death, Morpheus, who's the god of dreams. They made statues of Nike, who's the god of sneakers. But when people started following Jesus, they stopped buying all these little Buddhas. They had a live God they could worship now. And these now idol makers got mad about that. So they staged a protest in the stadium in downtown Ephesus. And Luke says, all those guys who were mad started chanting, "Great is the God Artemis of the Ephesians." They chanted that in unison. "Great is the God Artemis of the Ephesians." They chanted that in unison for 2 hours. They kept saying it. And all those silversmith protesters, the Bible calls them an ecclesia. They were a church. They were a group of people with something in common, but it wasn't following Jesus. Actually, it was being furious with Jesus for cutting in on their prophets. Any group of people drawn together by some unifying motive, is an ecclesia. The founding fathers of our country could be called an ecclesia. Our nation, our whole nation, after the heinous 9/11 attack, we were an ecclesia. When 70,000 people gathered today in Ralph Wilson, New Highmark Stadium, in Greek, those 70,000 people are an ecclesia. They are people who came together with the singular desire to crush the Washington football team. The Victor Fire Department is an ecclesia. They are a group of people trained and willing to serve the community. Or when people gather at the Fairport Canal for Oktoberfest this weekend, they are a beer-soaked ecclesia. Or when Star Wars fans get together next March for the new Mandalorian season, that will be a sci-fi, sky-high, worth the buy, there is no try ecclesia. By the way, I heard about a bunch of Star Trek fans who got together to show each other their new facial tattoos. Star Trek fans. But a Star Wars guy accidentally showed up. No one could believe the Luke on his face. Ecclesia is a group brought together by their common interest, by a common commitment. That's how the word was used in Jesus' day, but he took that common word that just means a group of people together for a reason, and he made it into something more. Etymologically, the word comes from two other words. It comes from ek, which means out of, and kaleo, which means to call. Originally, this word referred to a subgroup that was called out of another group. People in one set of circumstances called into something different by a person who had authority to do so. Like at a graduation celebration, after the names are called and the students all receive their diplomas, as they sit together, they are an ecclesia of graduates. Or when Jess and I are at the pickleball courts, and there are three people playing and they need one more player, and they look over and they say, well, it would be more fun with you, but if you want, we'll take him instead. I always say, hey, wait a minute, Jess is a really good player. And they say, no, we're talking about Jess. So at that point, when the four of them start playing, Jess has become part of their ecclesia, a group called together for a special purpose. And in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus asks his guys to sum up everything that they figured out so far about him. And Peter said, okay, I can do that. You, Jesus, you are the one we have been waiting for 2,000 years. God is going to fix what's broken through you. And Jesus replied in Matthew 16, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my ecclesia, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus said, I will build my church, I will build my ecclesia on this idea. When people see that I am the one, that's the thing that will tie them all together. Jesus' ecclesia, called out by Jesus, specially chosen to be part of what he's doing. Today, I am inviting you to become part of that for real, with us. Or if not with us, okay, if you don't choose to do ecclesia with Willowbrook, do it with somebody. Because there are benefits of being in Jesus' ecclesia. Like, benefit number one, being part of Jesus' group gets you lifting help. Like the church in Fred Craddock's story, when you do church, you are surrounded by people who will help you lift things, carry things, heavy things. Do you remember at the end of the rich young ruler story that we talked about last week, when Jesus said, what following him will win you? Jesus said in Mark 10, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, you get eternal life. In this life, if you get in on Jesus' ecclesia, you get brothers and sisters and mothers and children. So if you don't have family nearby to help you lift things in life, or if you do have family nearby but they don't help you, doing ecclesia is a game changer. We have families in our congregation with kids who live far away from their grandparents. So the families adopt older men and women who are part of our church. They ask them if they would be willing to fill in. And when the older couple in our church agrees to that, to become surrogate grandparents for these children, it's like, voila, the older lady becomes an Instagram. And the kids have the blessing of having grandparents in their growing up years nearby. They don't become their real grandparents, but they act as grandparents, and it's so good for the kids. We have had college students here in town far from their families, and they hang out with a family who's part of our church, and suddenly the kids aren't alone anymore. My dad used to say that he had five brothers in Ohio, blood relatives, didn't get to see them very much, but some guys who were part of the Clarence Church were closer to Dad than his brothers were to him. And it's true here too. People here help each other. One time, my car broke, and a guy from our church loaned me his sports car. And I almost didn't want to get my car fixed because it was so fun driving that car. A couple years later, my car broke, and a family from our church loaned us a brand new SUV that they weren't using. One time, our car was in a crash, and it really was broke. So a family from our church gave us their van. Not to borrow, they gave us the van. A couple years ago, our car broke, and a family from our church who was moving away from Victor left us an SUV. They just gave it to us. Sadly, all of our current cars are running fine. But when you do church, when you're part of Jesus' ecclesia, you have help lifting. We bear each other's burdens. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. We help each other. We care for each other. We meet each other's needs. We share life. I got a call from a family in our church. This is sad. I got a call from a family in our church, and they said, "Hey, John, we just got a speeding ticket, and we've never gotten one before, and we don't know what we're supposed to do now, but we figured you would." And this is the sadder part. I did know what to do. Sometimes you can help people because you've already been through stuff that they're facing in life for the first time. Sometimes you can help people because God's given you resources that you can share with them. Sometimes you can help people because you've developed skills that they need in their life right now. Sometimes you can help people just because you do life with Jesus, and that connects you to each other in his ecclesia. I know a man who bragged he could travel anywhere in the United States because he was a mason. No matter where he was, he said, he could find help with just a telephone call because he was a mason, which is great. But if you're in Jesus' ecclesia, you can go anywhere on earth and find help. Like, I heard about a Christian businessman who was in Romania doing some business there, and he was so lonely. There was just nobody around to talk to. He didn't know any church around. He felt so alone. And one night, after work was done, he was riding the bus back to his hotel, and he heard the lady in the seat ahead of him humming. And he recognized the song she was humming. It was the hymn, "The Old Rugged Cross." And she was humming it. So he tapped her on her shoulder. He was so excited. She was a Christian. He asked her name, and she just looked at him and shrugged. And he said, "My name is, and I just want to talk to you because you're singing the Old Rugged Cross." And she said, she didn't speak English, so they couldn't talk. So he started humming the Old Rugged Cross, and she listened to him. Then she smiled, and she started humming it too. And then he hummed Amazing Grace, and she joined in and hummed that too. And then she got out her Bible, and she opened it up to the first page, and she pointed to Genesis 1:1. And he recognized what she was doing. He got his Bible out, and he pointed to Genesis 1:1. Then he turned to John 3:16 and pointed to it, and she turned to that in her Bible, and she found it, and she smiled. And they showed each other their favorite verses in Scripture. And when they recognized what it was and what the other person liked, they would nod and smile. And though they did not speak the same language, the hearts of two ecclesia people connected in Romania on that bus that night. One thing you get when you do church is you get help lifting your load in life. Benefit number two, being part of Jesus' group gets you yelling help. One of the very best parts of being in is that there are people in the ecclesia who will hold you accountable. Hebrews 13, 17 says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that it will be of no benefit to you. In every group that Jesus starts, there are people who are virtuous, who are good, who are solid, smart people. And Jesus says we should trust those people with our lives and we should submit to their authority. If people like that in your ecclesia say that you should do something for your own good, you should go that way. If good leaders in your ecclesia say you should not do something because that's going to hurt you, you should not do it. Now, to most Americans, that does not sound at all appealing. But if you think about it, if being connected to Jesus is the most important thing in life, if in the end, like at your funeral, the only thing that's going to matter is if you're connected or if you're not connected, then you would want to do whatever's necessary during life to keep that connection connected, right? And if you started to drift, wouldn't you want somebody to say, stop it, whoa, get back, what? Don't do that. I want somebody like that in my life. Have you ever gone to an AA meeting? If anyone ever invites you for any reason to attend an AA meeting, you should go. Please go. I have been to several AA meetings. People keep asking me to go to an AA meeting with them, even though I'm not alcoholic. I might have those tendencies in me. Guys in my family tree definitely were, but I have avoided all of that by never drinking alcohol at all. Now, I freely admit I could be a Vicodinic. I love Vicodin. I really love Vicodin. The one time I got to try it for my pinched nerve, but VA meetings aren't really for Vicodin lovers, so I don't go to meetings. But people know that they go to AA meetings. Sometimes they want to go. They know they should go, but they don't want to go by themselves and just walk in, so they'll ask if I will go with them, and I say, yes, I'd be glad to go. And at AA meetings, it is always amazing to me how they call out each other when somebody's sliding back. Each person at an AA meeting will tell of his or her journey towards sobriety, and everyone in the circle there that night will be very supportive of that. But if a person starts to waver, talking about how they think they might maybe drink a little and still be okay, others sitting there will call that baloney so fast and so hard that it's stunning. The first time I ever went to a meeting, a man was talking and he was explaining why he had a drink the previous week, and his circumstances in life were really bad, and I understood why he would do that. But a lady called him out on that, and she was so blunt and in his face so fast, I thought they might have a fist fight. Turns out, the guy getting called bull on, he got real quiet, and for a long time, he just looked down at his hands. And then he looked up at the lady, and he said, thank you. Thank you. And he went on, because being honest with what he was thinking about will probably save his life. So here in Ecclesia, when somebody's stepping out of bounds, we have people who step in and say, no, no way. And that's not always well received, but it's so important that we can't not do it. If you're part of Willowbrook and you start doing things in life that aren't healthy according to Jesus, we will talk to you about it. And if you keep doing those things, we will talk louder until you stop. Either stop doing the deadly thing or stop being part of Willowbrook. We explained that to a lady one time who wanted to be part of our church. We said, this is what's going to happen. And if this is thing, if you this is where you go, this is what we'll do. We said, this is one of the things that you have to sign off on or you can't be part of our church. And she listened to all that and she said, so basically what I'm doing here, I'm giving you permission to yell at me. And we said, if you need it, yes. And she said, okay, smart lady. We pay personal trainers to scream in our faces so that we'll do whatever it takes to get in shape. We pay Weight Watchers to make us feel bad for what we ate last week so that we can limit our obesity. We pay referees to watch the sidelines on plays to make sure nobody steps out of bounds. It reminds me of the losing coach who found a cell phone in the locker room and went over and handed it to the head referee. He said, here, this must be yours. And the ref said, why would you think this phone is mine? And the coach says, well, it says 10 missed calls. I was at a group this week, and there was a 15-month-old baby girl wandering around during group, and the mom was sitting on one side of the room, and I was sitting on the other side of the room next to the dad, and the mom got up and walked across the room, and I overheard her say to her husband in a very stern voice, I am going to the bathroom now. Your job is to make sure she stays alive until I get back. Some things are important. Keeping toddlers alive till their mom gets back from the bathroom is one such. Keeping Jesus in the center of your life is another such. Ecclesia comes with people who will do that. So if you're part of a church, you will get lifting help and you will get yelling help. But best, benefit number three, being part of Jesus's group gets you a chance to help heaven. You want to do something that matters in life, right? You want to be significant. You may not want the limelight, but you definitely want your life to count for something, right? When you're part of the ecclesia that's all about Jesus, you get to help him do his stuff, fixing the world. How's that for significant? You can be part of fixing what's wrong in people's lives. And sometimes you can do that miraculously. He will help you miraculously. Take, for instance, the story of William Marcus Young. He was a missionary from America to Thailand. And Young's desire was to help a group of people there called the Wa people. If only he could find a way to help them without losing his head, because they were headhunters. They were a tribe in the Lahu Mountains. There were 100,000 of the Wa people. Now, they were not promiscuous headhunters. They didn't headhunt all the time, only during planting season, because they thought that their seeds grew better if they planted seeds and heads together. So you could see why the Wa neighbors always wanted to go on vacation when the Wa were planting their crops. But unfortunately for the neighbors, that's when they needed to plant their fields as well. Didn't work out well. And yet occasionally, God would send to the Wa people a prophet. They called God Sia, and Sia would send prophets to foretell the coming of a messenger who would have a book that would be a message from God for the Wa people. And this was long part of their history. One such prophet, a spokesman for Sia, named Pu Chan, appeared once, condemning their spirit worship, condemning their headhunting, and they decided to stop all of that because Pu Chan told them, the true God is ready to send you the long-awaited white brother with a copy of God's lost book. And if he's nearby and he hears of all of our evil, he might turn away. And Pu Chan added that if that happened, the Wa people might never get a chance to hear from God, and they wouldn't want that. So they stopped headhunting. And one morning, Pu Chan came out to the middle of town and with a saddled donkey. And he said, follow this donkey. Sia told me last night in a dream that the white brother we await has come near. And Sia will guide this donkey straight to him. Follow this donkey. And when you find the white brother, let him mount the donkey. We don't want to be bad hosts and make him walk to our village. Let him ride. And the Wa all gasped. When, as soon as he finished making that speech, the donkey, unbidden, turned and started to walk away. So 12 of their best warriors started to follow the donkey, expecting it to stop at a nearby stream. But the donkey kept going and kept going and kept. They followed that donkey for 200 miles down the mountains until it came to the city of Keng Tung. And the donkey walked up to the gate of a missions compound and headed straight through the gate and over to a hole in the ground, and then stopped. And the warriors looked around, but they saw no white brother, they saw no book, they saw no one, they saw nothing. And they thought, what? Until they went and they looked down in the well, where there was no water. There were just two blue eyes staring up at them from a friendly bearded white face. And a white man in the well spoke to them in their own language and said, hello, strangers, may I help you? And William Marcus Young climbed out of the well that he was digging, and they said, have you a book from God? And he said, yes, I do. And they fell at his feet and said, this donkey is saddled for you. Our people are waiting. Fetch the book. We must be on our way. And through William Young's teaching, over 10,000 headhunters became followers of Jesus. And Young was just out digging a well one day when God delivered 10,000 people to him. 10,000 people ready to become part of Jesus's ecclesia if someone would just come and tell them how. Is that an amazing coincidence that a donkey walked 200 miles down a mountain and stopped by a well with a missionary in it? Or is that the miraculous power of God helping one man fulfill God's purpose for him on earth? Why do missionaries have extraordinary stories of God's aid? Because they're on the front lines and they need God's help to do what they're trying to do. But hey, So do we. So are we. There are at least 10,000 people in Victor and Farmington who long to be in the ecclesia they were made for. And God is quite capable of getting us together with them if we would be ready to do his stuff. This church can have supernatural help. You can be part of a great story like William Marcus Young's if you will commit yourself to be part of Jesus's ecclesia and if you will do life for him with all you've got. So I invite you to, today, choose to be part of our church. If you have come to recognize that Jesus is the only one who can make things right, if you've pledged your life to his cause by being baptized into him, if you're willing to use the resources that God provides you to accomplish what matters to him, if you'll agree to be under the watchful eye of good leaders here who will care for your soul, we would love to have you as part of this group. That would be good for you and good for us and good for the world. But if not us, find a group that you can say yes to all those things and get with them. Because Jesus says not even the gates of hell can stand up to a group of people called together by him. And being part of such a group, being part of a church, that is what God hopes for every person on earth, from you to the WA people and everyone in between. Be the church. Do ecclesia. Make a choice today to get in. And when you do, when you get in, you will hear me say, my name is John Walker, and if you ever need help with a speeding ticket, I'm your guy. Let's pray.